You're listening to The Brian and Gina Show, the official podcast of LA Magazine. Here are your hosts, Brian and Gina.
Hello and welcome to The Brian and Gina Show, the official podcast of Los Angeles Magazine. I am Brian Bishop.
I'm Gina Grad.
Weekend recap for you guys, Memorial Day weekend. I hope you guys had a great Memorial Day out there, wherever you celebrate or memorialize on your own accord. I got a movie review coming in hot.
Oh, I can't wait for that. I've been freaking out all weekend, unnecessarily, I'm sure, unduly. I don't think we're supposed to say, like, happy Memorial Day.
I've heard this before, but I've also heard from vets and from people who have lost people in military service that, we're not saying Memorial Day is a happy thing, but the idea that it is a day of remembrance, but also a day off, enjoy yourself. You know, this is what all that was for, was for you to enjoy yourself, your family.
That I love. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have like a blowout mattress sale, but to spend time with friends and family. Yes.
That feels absolutely like what it's come to. That's where we are.
Yes. And so, you know, God bless this show
Leave it there. Yeah.
This show has gotten me out of the house in a way that, Ed McMahon dangling a comical sized check wasn't able to do.
Okay.
So since this show and talking about LA has reignited my love of this city, that I didn't hate it. It was just a little dormant. I was like, yeah, I live here. I like it. But I'm like, no. I love it. And I've been doing things and I'm excited to talk about them. I feel reborn.
According to your Instagram account and stories, which by the way, everyone should follow at Gina Grad. You're getting out there. You're making it. You're making the scene.
Well, again, I don't know if I'll ever reach, Brian Bishop levels of like, it's a Wednesday. Of course, we're dressing up and going to
dinner. It's aspirational.
But, every little bit is more than I was doing.
Perfect.
So this is just, us talking about what we did on our, a couple of days off is, it's ways to inspire others to check out stuff that isn't, and we love Disneyland. We love Universal. We've talked about all that. But if you don't just want to visit here and, dump your relatives on Hollywood Boulevard and have them, take feet pictures next to stars, we do more local things sometimes. Vacation-y things, like I think Brian did. And these are other great alternatives to the stuff you always hear about when, you go on TripAdvisor or whatever.
Yep. So we got that coming to you. Also, Gina posted a provocative tweet that got some interesting responses. And I'm like, let's bring that to the show. I love the stories.
Let me just tease it this way. When I first posted that, I thought, let me put on my What Would Brian Bishop bracelet. What would Brian Bishop do? And he would do something.
Those are coming soon. Those are available in the merch store at lamag.com.
He would say something droll, maybe a little snarky, but all in good spirits and, hopefully kind of funny. The second I push send on that, my heart started racing because you're known for that. I'm not.
Because you put me as the example. That was all in good fun.
Thank God. I was like, oh no, this isn't going to end well.
I feel like our former boss had a take on this, which is if there was a little bit of truth to it, it would hurt. But because I think, listen, there's a lot of valid criticisms of me, but I think that universally, I think you'd have a hard time finding people who have run into me or met me or whatever who would say that I was a jerk. I think I'm pretty gracious. Genuinely, I enjoy meeting people who, like we've established before, having random strangers tell you they enjoy your job or your work is awesome.
Yeah, you're not gonna punch them in the face like you're Alec Baldwin in a paparazzo.
I know that guy, not Baldwin, the paparazzo.
Are you serious?
It's a long story.
What a random thing you just said that you
know
that guy.
Yeah. Okay. It's tangential. This is not a friend.
No, it doesn't matter. Another day, because we're talking about celebrities and paparazzi, you are going to tell that story. You are going to tell us how you know that person.
Yeah, it's boring, but I'll tell it.
Don't care.
Okay.
So let's talk a little weekend action, because I was local. I don't think you were local, but a great hop, skip, and a jump sort of almost a staycation.
I was out in Gina country.
Yeah.
Semi-local. Every year, this has been a tradition amongst my wife and her family, the in-laws, from well beyond many years. I mean, since her childhood, long before I came into the picture, every year they sojourn out to La Quinta, which if you're not familiar with the area, basically Palm Springs, adjacent.
Yeah, I think if my IMAP is working, a little bit closer to LA than Palm Springs.
No, a little bit farther, actually.
Never mind. Even better.
It's right next to Indio, where Coachella, the Stagecoach, Coachella, all those big festivals are. Right. Anyway, we did not go out there for a festival. They go out every year for Memorial Day. And now that Christy's brother lives in Phoenix with his young ever-expanding family, that's a nice in-between point where we kind of meet, spend the weekend together. The family owns a condo out there, co-owns with friends, a condo out there that they have as a rental property. And the Palm Springs La Quinta rental crowd, they're in it to win it, man. They're there for like 2 months at a time. So they rent it to like two people over the like winter and spring for, 4 months or whatever it is. And that's, that keeps the whole thing going.
That's amazing. They rent it to people who use winter as a verb.
Yeah,
we
completely.
Winter in Palm Springs.
Yeah, I think one, I know for a fact one is, Northeast based, New York or Boston or something. And the other is, I assume, something similar. But yeah, they're out there for the pleasant weather.
Yeah, of course. Oh, that's great. Go ahead.
Speaking of pleasant weather, there have been years. Memorial Day is really where, summer starts to kick off weather-wise around here often. Not this year, but often. It is not unusual to go out there and have the temperature be around 105. Real scorching desert heat. And this year was very manageable between like 93 and 98. Really an enjoyable pool temperature.
Me without my turtleneck.
Right. And so we went out there with our 6-year-old daughter and met up with her 3 and 1-year-old cousins who, I read this on social media a long time ago and I have no idea who said it or where it came from, but it is apt because cousins are the first celebrities in your lives. Like your cousin is the influencer in your young life.
Totally.
And Tess is the oldest of this crew.
Oh.
And so she really loves her cousins, enjoys hanging out with them, all that stuff, playing, whatever. The younger one, look up to her and want to do everything she does. I want to swim without floaties. Well, sure. You're only 3 years old. You can't do that. Meanwhile, Tess is, on the swim team. Oh. So she's just cutting it up in the pool. And that's what we did most of the time was just hanging by the pool, swim. Tessa couldn't get enough, diving on me, jumping on me, pulling me off the stairs, the whole thing. Yeah.
She's doing her job.
That's right. So it was, mix that in with a few barbecues and we were, it was a perfect Memorial Day weekend.
That's wonderful. And that whole area, we talk about it a lot because we believe it. That whole Indio, Coachella Valley, Joshua Tree, Palm Springs, La Quinta, it is an awesome reason to visit and live in California. The desert is magical and you can do your, sort of higher end resort golf course, desert weekend or just go full, micro dose in a yurt. I mean, you got everything in the desert.
There's a bohemian lifestyle to enjoy. I will say a couple of fun things. Number one, the area where we are, where this condo is, they have the butts up right against the mountain there, and sheep, the bighorn sheep, come down every day. You don't go a day without seeing one or multiple bighorn sheep.
The hell are you talking about?
Yeah. The bighorn sheep just come down from the mountain and just go right into the golf course and they graze and they look for food and they're just walking around. They walk past the pool, like between like the road and the golf course. This is not an unusual occurrence. This happens every single day.
I've never heard of sheep in the desert. I've seen goats.
This might be unique to La Quinta, and this might be unique to this particular community or whatever it is. But that is a good time. The kids get a kick out of that. And I should have sent to Gary. You know,
those are majestic. Those look like Ibex.
You know what, Gary? I'm going to send you a picture last minute, and this is completely off the cuff. When I'm done here, I'll send it to you because we got a picture of Tessa and Christy. Right, the goats came 10 feet away. But that's fun.
Let me put this in perspective for all you Jews out there who are members of the tribe. You know, shofar. Yeah, Brian probably even knows what a shofar is. It's a ram's horn, and it's literally taken from an animal, and you blow it on the high holidays, on Yom Kippur and on Rosh Hashanah. It's like anyway. These bighorn sheep literally have two gigantic shofar coming out of their head.
Yeah,
just to
huge.
Put it for my people.
They look like the LA Rams football helmets. You know, they're full on.
This is the turn. First. So they just roam wild? Does somebody?
Yeah, no, they're I think the local government tags like one out of 20, because every once in a while you'll see one with like a red, literally a red tag on its ear, because they want to like track migration or whatever patterns. But there's rules, like you're not allowed to feed them, even though they can eat whatever they want. You're not supposed to give them food. It's a weird fine line. But and there were babies this year. There were big giant daddies with the ray with the what's the horn called?
A shofar.
Shofar. That's right. It's a good time. They come right up to you. They're fearless.
That's funny because they look like the kind of thing where some dummy is going to get too close and be knocked into next week by these guys.
Oh, you wouldn't want to approach them with anything. I would not want to approach them. I'm happy to observe them and let them approach me. But you would not want to make any move that could be considered an aggressive move by a dumb animal.
They look sort of like Game of Thrones fantasy animal. I don't know why I'm so shocked by this, but I really am.
There was a point of contention with the three-year-old when I was explaining her name is, I won't say her name because it's not my kid, but I was explaining that, look, a sheep. And she looks and with these giant horns. And she's like, no, those are goats. I'm like, I understand what you're saying, but no, these are sheep. Like, no, they're goats. So we went back and forth quite a bit.
Another day, can we just have a cathartic bitch session about how a three-year-old to a, 16-year-old could ever think that they're right about anything? Like, I go through this in my home on an almost daily basis. And every once in a while when I'm fed up, I'm like, you don't know more than me about adding two numbers together. You may surpass me at some point, but I promise when I tell you what 7 + 4 is, I know this for a fact. You don't know more than me about this subject. And
yeah,
it's deaf ears.
There was a fun moment where the three-year-old was adamantly explaining something medical about herself. And her mom, my sister-in-law, has been a pediatric nurse for years. Not just a nurse, but a pediatric nurse. And someone was explaining to the three-year-old, no, you need to do this. And she's like, no, I don't, but because of this. They're like, no, you need to. No, I don't. And the answer finally was, well, you're three and your mother's a nurse. So yes, you do.
Where do they get the cojones? I just can't figure it out.
Ironic. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, at some point we might just have to really tear into these children.
I sent Gary the pictures of the sheep. I understand it's the last minute. Do what you can over there, Gary. But if you want to see just how close they get.
And they're not, they're feral, but they're not like armed and dangerous.
No, I've never heard of an incident with the sheep. They just kind of roam and graze and eat and occasionally trot. Right.
Oh, how lovely. Mm-hmm. Well, if when you get that, just break in, Gary, with a picture, because I'd like to see that. I don't think my child would get near a bighorn sheep. So I'm going to see Tessa right up against this thing.
Oh, and second fun thing. If you're ever visiting from outside the area to this, to the Palm Springs, Palm Desert, La Quinta area, Indio, all of that, desert area, don't sleep on the produce. Like, you get like roadside strawberries, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like at a stand or whatever. And they're just in for, you might think it's the desert. Nothing's going to grow. Oh no. Some of the best strawberries you'll ever have. My mouth's watering right now thinking about it. But they're the ones in the store are like white on the inside because they're just not, you know, all that, you know, perfect.
Right.
These are red throughout, you know, sugary, sweet.
That's fantastic. And it's not my thing. I mean, just a sip or two, just to say I did it is fun. I'm not a big sweet tooth person, but I know people who will go all the way out there just for the date shake.
The famous date shakes. Yeah. They're fantastic. I'm with you. I'm with you that a sip or two will do you, but if you know, maybe you can share one between you and a loved one.
The famous date shakes are a thing. Oh my God. There's the bighorn sheep and there's your small child.
It's they have a small child too. You see, it's two adults and a baby, and they're 10, 12 feet away.
Why did your wife and child just turn their back on these things?
Oh, they're
don't
harmless.
Turn your back on these things.
You know, if you can see in Tess's hand, they're playing smash ball or spike ball. And I think the sheep's thought that that was some kind of fruit.
Oh my God, that's funny. Yeah, no offense, Brian. I didn't think I was going to learn anything about La Quinta today.
There you go. They're all over the place.
So definitely don't. And Brian's a great example. You know, I went to Phoenix, you know, Scottsdale, Phoenix, just a couple of weeks ago. Brian went to the desert at the end of May. Don't be afraid of venturing into these really hot climates, you know, late spring, early summer. I mean, hell, I've been to the desert in the middle of the summer multiple times. Yep. So it just depends on your you know, your level of tolerance for heat. But like they say, it's a dry heat. It makes a difference. Not in Miami where you feel like you're walking through cheesecake. I mean,
not
it's very doable, especially with the pool around.
Yeah, exactly. With the pool, like these places are built for this weather and you're going to get a better deal in the summertime, frankly.
Oh,
that's considered off season.
Absolutely. Well, that's a wonderful, suggestion, whether you knew it or not, for people either who live here and never ventured out that way, or people who want to do the LA thing and then kind of move on and see what else we got.
There you go.
I stayed very local all weekend, but I left the house like a champ. I have never stopped patting myself on the back. We did a double date dinner on Saturday night and Saturday. I don't remember Friday. I'm sure it was great. But we went to a wonderful restaurant in Studio City because there are so many good ones called Black Market Liquor Store.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of this.
It is so good. I have a picture of the inside. I was just like, where's a place I've never been? It is so cool. It's like a very kind of rustic upscale brewery style.
Yeah, it looks like a brew pub mixed with a lodge almost.
Yes. And that, I mean, this is like so my aesthetic. Like, I just was like, whatever it is, I'm in. The food was incredible.
The bar is majestic.
The bar is beautiful. And we got the round banquette. You know the food's going to be good when on the homepage of the website, it's a black and white picture of the chef, not the restaurant. So you know you're onto something special.
Star of the show.
We had teeny tiny, I didn't take a picture because there was no way to show you how tiny they were. I didn't have like a quarter on me to put next to it. Teeny, teeny, tiny little deviled quail eggs.
Oh, wow.
Which were kind of fun. I mean, I'm talking the top of my first knuckle on my pinky. I mean, they're little.
Sense. Sure.
We had everything, the chicken wings and, you know, because I'm like, I can't stop eating red meat. I'm like a vampire for beef now. Had a succulent ribeye.
All right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't be stopped. So it was delicious. Black Market Liquor in Studio City. Loved it. The staff is excellent. The drinks were great. The food is, there's a reason the chef is on the front page of the website.
Yeah.
So definitely recommend that. And then, oh, nothing. I'm doing, you know, looking at news stories today. Lady Gaga having a casual dinner at Laurel Tavern right, you know, across the street from my house. Another great kind of pub style restaurant.
Yeah, so, I've been to that one.
Yeah. Studio City is just, it's its own restaurant row. And, you know, you don't always, especially if you don't live in the Valley, Brian.
That's me.
Definitely check out stuff on the other side of the hill. And it doesn't have to be Deep Valley. Literally, there is a mountain or a canyon. And on one side of it is Hollywood. And on one side of it is Studio City. That's it. So just come whoop, whoop, right over Crescent or right over wherever and check out the incredible restaurants in Studio City. There's so many hole-in-the-wall sushi places and pubs and great stuff.
All right. Solid endorsement.
Yeah. So that was Saturday. But we knew we had our work cut out for us because I told my husband that we were going to do go on a date on Sunday.
Oh, no.
And the best part about dinner, because when we're all old, I was like, is 7:30 too late? And they're like, 7:30 is perfect. We're all home by 10:15. God, I get high just thinking about it. So we had a lunch and we decided, it had to be lunch because two very, very iconic television series were ending Sunday night. We had to be home for both of them. So
Succession was ending?
Barry.
Oh, okay.
I never got Barry. I wasn't into it. And then that's what we did Friday. We binged the entire series in like 2.5 days.
Wow.
We couldn't stop it. Okay. Just one second. Succession is all New York. It's all high rises, corporate takeovers, Hamptons. It's New York. I have never seen a show so quintessentially LA. And I don't mean that in an Entourage way. I mean this in a quirky, random, like North Hollywood, quirky acting classes, references that are so inside. I have to imagine anyone who doesn't live here misses most of them because they're just inside jokes for like hyper local.
Okay.
Dying. And it is one of the most brilliant shows I've ever seen. And I'm sorry it took me so long to watch it. So anyway, we had to clear the night for that. So we went to a place that you and I have been together on one of our many romantic outings.
Let's hear it.
Fogo de Show in Pasadena.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I remember you posting about that too.
Oh, my God. So I am like laser focused on meat. I can't stop. Something has been awakened inside
me. You're like a shark who had a taste for human blood.
That's all I want is human blood. So we were going to go to the one in L.A., like Beverly Hills. Right. I've never been to that one. And I looked at the pictures. Looks lovely. Looks old school, red carpet and brass.
There's a different vibe. As one who's been to both, yes, there's a different vibe for sure.
But I got to tell you, the one we went to just felt so upscale and fresh and modern and beautiful.
Nice.
I was like, let's just go back to that one. I love that place. So Andy had never been. And I tried to, I said, here's one rule from me and one rule from Brian Bishop. One, don't overload on the salad bar. It's a rookie mistake.
That's right.
And from me, don't get greedy when they give you one piece of something, because I promise you, you're going to
be enough.
Tap it out before you know it.
You're going to always go back.
Yes. He took both of our advice. He just had a little Caesar salad. I went a little crazier with the salad bar. But the chicken drumsticks, the sausage, the lamb shank, the
Pequina, I think.
Pequina,
if I remember correctly.
Garlic steak, top sirloin, ribeye.
The bottom sirloin is my favorite.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were joking.
No, I'm not. That's my favorite cut there.
Oh, I still haven't learned the difference.
Okay.
You can taste the difference between a top and bottom sirloin?
I mean, a little bit. Enough that it is my favorite.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm still a novice. I love the garlic steak, the Parmesan pork. Are you kidding me? It was incredible. So we were there for about 30 minutes, and you're seeing a picture of my husband really making some tough decisions. Really,
really feeling it. Yeah.
Those plates had been cleared several times by that point.
Sure, understand.
But we kept going. We muscled through. We were there for about an hour until finally we had to give the no mas. Every bite of meat was better than the last. It's so hard to flip that disc because I would flip it red and then I'd see something coming behind his shoulder and I'd flip us green so they didn't pass. It's too hard.
Now, there are a number of Fogo de Chao restaurants around the country, so I do feel like that's sort of a known entity, but let's tell the people how it works. It's a Brazilian steakhouse, of which there are like other imitators, so you're probably familiar with the concept.
Yeah,
the idea is that
This is meat Disneyland.
Your server is essentially a chef also. It's kind of a weird hybrid. They're called gauchos, and they come around with giant skewers of meat, like skewered, like with a sword and a knife. And they're like, would you like a cut of top sirloin? And you're like, yes, I would. And you have this disc, literally this coaster, one side green, one side red. And when you're ready for meat, when you're ready for food, you flip that baby to green and it's on. And then they just come around. They attack you like strippers at a strip club. Like they just keep, they come in waves. And then they're like, would you like some top sirloin? Yes, I would.
You take the
little personal tongs you're equipped with.
Yes.
And they cut off like, you know, this much. You grab a hold of it. They cut off the rest. You put it on your plate. You can really load up.
It is the definition of succulent. That entire restaurant.
I've often said the smartest thing Fogo ever did was go upscale, because you could see how this could go sideways if it was like, you know, some weird buffet type situation. Yes. It's expensive, but it's worth it because it's so nice.
Well, yes. And here's a tip. First of all, I kept referring to it as a buffet that comes to you.
Yeah.
So if you can't get lazier, just know that you can go to Churrascaria and the buffet will come to your table. It was incredible. We loved every single thing we tried. And I learned a little something that apparently is not a secret, because, you know, we had to go early because we had to clear the night for television. And we got there and it was packed.
Yeah.
And I looked at the menu. It's the exact same everything. Nothing changes. It goes around and around and around. But lunch is like $25 cheaper a person. Yeah,
that's the real key. If you can get in there for a late lunch,
before like
you'll be good for dinner time, because you're loading up on an incredible amount of steak and sausage and pork.
We didn't eat the rest of the day. Although I think I found my future job that I'd be perfect for, and I kept telling Andy. And so, if anybody has a line on this, I think I'd be really good at it. Like high
this
end.
Isn't it?
No, this is my fallback plan, because I want to be in customer service, because this woman was coming around to the table, beautiful woman, you know, just saying, how was your food and how was the service? Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Then insisted with the force of like six, like mob goons, insists of giving us a take home brick of cheesecake and making sure we're happy and that we, you know, we shouldn't even mention like a nice review, but of course you want to leave a nice review. It was a wonderful meal. That's her job. Go around to tables, make sure everybody had enough meat. And if they look like they could use a dessert, slice them off a brick of cheesecake.
I've never encountered that. They must have recognized your VIP status. but it's funny. That's also funny because Fogo famously does not let you take home leftovers, because you can see how someone could very easily game the system. Like, just another 12 slices of sirloin and I'll take those to go.
Right. You're right. But I guess dessert must be the
exception.
Well, actually, I was thinking it was the exception, but it took her so long that I thought, maybe they don't even have to-go boxes. I don't know where she came up with this box.
Yeah.
But it was awesome. We were so stuffed. We were in pain. We don't do that very often, especially these days. I'm trying to, you know, be on a regimen. But I was like, you know what? F it. This is a special lunch. We're having a great time. Walked around Pasadena, I forced us to take cute pictures.
Oh, good.
You know, I forced that, because there's such, I didn't realize the amount of beautiful architecture in Pasadena.
Me neither.
Beautiful. Check out this church we walked by. I mean, this is something out of like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
this
that's regal.
Yeah, there's just walking around, beautiful architecture, digesting our food. So it was a really lovely afternoon. And then we got back and we just had to prepare for a lot of heartbreaking television.
That's right. And, you know, in terms of indulgent meals, you could do a lot worse than going on a show.
And that was the whole point, because my husband is strict, and I mean ad nauseum, and he'll tell you all about it. Strict NSNG, no sugar, no grain. We went to, you know, a 5-star resort, you know, the Fairmont Princess. Stuck to it, no when in Rome, nothing. And so this was a perfect place. It was meat, and then they sprinkle a little meat on top of it.
Yeah, they should offer some sort of monthly membership. You know what I mean? like AMC, like AMC with their A list, you know what I mean? Because you're not gonna, they're gonna make money in the long run, but like, you know, for you keto folks, just go nuts.
That's brilliant.
It kind of is. I'm not joking.
Wow. You shouldn't be. Nobody steal that idea. Brian, go call the restaurant.
Okay, I'll see what I can do. Yeah, hire me as a consultant.
So, Ian, hire me for customer service to be the cheesecake passer outer.
There you go.
So, yeah, I hope we gave you a couple ideas for the weekend. You also saw a movie that I am dying to hear your thoughts about.
Yes, The Little Mermaid was seen by me. I actually saw it in the desert in La Quinta. I believe the only theater in La Quinta, which shout out to Cinemark, because I'm an AMC loyalist, mainly because, well, for multiple reasons, but they're closest to me. They have one of their flagship theaters is close to me. They have the A-list program, which I take full advantage of. I'm sure they're losing many dollars on me alone. The only option out there was, I believe, a Cinemark, and very nice theater. The reclining seats were wide and large and comfy. And I'm so used to my AMC, you know, Dolby or Prime or whatever, that I was like, oh, these are a little bigger and a little cushier. So it was a nice treat.
Good.
I had to pay for it, which sucked. But although ticket prices a little depressed out there in the desert. So
I was going to say probably got a little discount from being in the heart of LA.
Yeah, seriously, we saw the I think it was the day it opened on Friday, and it was a 1:20 or 1:30 show, and I think it was $10 a person. You know, which
this?
Yeah, that's cheap these days, because if you go to see it, you know, here in town, it's going to run you closer to $20 a person.
I was going
to
say 18, probably.
Yeah, some along those lines.
So tell us. I'm dying to know.
So, yeah, the movie itself, directed by Rob Marshall, director of Chicago, is in theaters now, and it stars Holly. I'm doing this all off memory. If you can see my face, Holly Bailey as the titular Little Mermaid, Ariel. It's a live action remake of the 1989 animated classic that really people, you know, the people. I don't know if they recognize or remember that Disney Animation Studios was kind of in the dumps, you know, up until about 1989, when The Little Mermaid really turned things around for them. And then you had a real resurgent golden era with The Lion King and Beauty and the Beast.
Aladdin.
Yeah, yeah. Those early mid 90s movies that really put, you know, Disney back on the map. Not that they went away, but, you know, those movies were suffering there for a couple of decades.
The Fox and the Hound wasn't great.
There's a reason why if you go, yeah, leave this one up. This is the main poster here, Gary. There's a reason why someone just standing outside my car. I don't like this.
Oh, grab your mic and talk to him.
There's a reason. I'm just going to keep an eye on him. There's a reason why when you go to Disneyland, you don't see a lot of properties from the 70s and 80s represented. And what little there is like, I don't know, the whatever the island is, the Swiss Family Robinson or it's live action stuff. And even that is not really represented. So really,
they had a patch of land next to the big Thunder Mountain Railroad. They didn't know what to do with it. So they made a Swiss Family Robinson playground.
There you go. So Little Mermaid is in theaters now. And I think it's clocking it in at just barely fresh at like 68% of Rotten Tomatoes. Surprising, because while this is not a great movie, I have a hard time thinking how anyone could give it a legitimately bad review. You know what I mean? Like, this is by all means and all accounts a perfectly pleasant, fine movie. You know what I mean? That checks all the boxes, as delightful, is very faithful to the original.
I mean, it has all the benchmarks, I imagine, the songs, the Pretty Mermaid.
And it's all, if there are flaws to this movie. Number one, it's way too long. It's absurdly long. It's 2 hours and 21 minutes or something, right around there. Where the original is like a brisk, something like 88 minutes or something. Like the first one, you forget how much it moves along at a pace. And this one, it's paced more like a normal movie, but it's almost like, all right, get in, get out. And they also, I don't know how well you remember the animated film, but they
pretty well.
They dispatched the entire Sebastian being pursued by the French chef subplot.
No, that's
not in the movie. This movie. It's also weirdly dark. I don't mean tone. I mean, it is dimly lit in many of the underwater scenes to the point where I was like, I said to Christy, we all went to see it, me and her and the daughter. I was like, did you notice how dark the movie was? She's like, no, that's just you and your eyes. I'm like, I don't think so. And I actually read a review, or actually I think it was a roundup of reviews in like Variety or something. So like, oh, criticisms include, you know, the movie being far too dimly lit. Like, yes, I totally agree. I'm not the only one.
Interesting. And that's what I got to wonder who they made the movie for, because I thought they made it for kids, but if it's that long, are they making it for the nostalgia factor for adults?
A little bit. Well, I think it definitely hits the target for kids. The audience was a lot of 5 to 13-year-old girls in my theater, many who came alone or were, you know, dropped off by a parent or whatever. They seemed to enjoy it. Theater was 2/3 full, which for 1 o'clock on a Friday was pretty impressive. And there were a couple of spontaneous applause breaks. Rob Marshall, the director of Chicago, which won Best Picture, and you can imagine him in charge of this movie. He's going to have a lot of song and dance numbers that land pretty hard with the audience. And they were great. There's a lot of good things about the movie. Melissa McCarthy kills it as Ursula, the sea witch.
That was the only one I was worried about. I love her so much. And I was afraid she wouldn't. I wanted Harvey Fierstein or something to play Ursula. I wanted it to be big and brash and, like, you know, ridiculous. And I was worried she wasn't going to be ridiculous enough and caricaturish enough.
I believe she does just. All right.
Is he still by your car?
He's looking into my car at this point.
I can vamp. I'm getting worried.
And now there's someone else next to him.
I could do 5 minutes on Ursula's makeup.
Now he's walking away. I don't like this.
God.
I'm keeping an eye on this guy. And now there's a guy behind them. There's some sort of grift going on. There's a fourth guy.
Are you serious? Are they all looking in your car?
No, they're all walking past my car. The first guy was peering into my car.
I don't like this. What do you have in there?
What's that?
I hope they saw the club from the old days.
That's right. Yeah, don't even think about it. Well, they're out of frame now, so I can concentrate. No, Melissa McCarthy was a perfect, perfect tone. Like, she could have gone way over the top, or she could have played it kind of brooding, and she was right there in the middle, which was just sort of brassy enough. Ursula, any way you slice it, Ursula is one of the great Disney villains of all time. I mean, male, female, animated, live action. Yeah. She's fantastic. I'm talking about the original 89 Ursula. And Melissa McCarthy, I wouldn't have taken the role because it's such an impossible task. You know, like, hey, take this iconic role and make it live action. She did a great job, I thought. She was the star of the show. Not to be outdone, Holly Bailey as the titular Little Mermaid, Ariel, was great. She's like a singer, and she killed it as far as I could tell. She was, very tone perfect. She was right there in the pocket, right where she's supposed to be.
That's amazing. And I can't imagine what they went through in digital, because every time I see the trailer, I start like screaming into my husband's face, how do they make her hair do that? And it's just beautifully waving back and forth in the water. Everyone says that Flounder looks like he had buckle fat removal and is on Ozempic. Is Flounder okay?
I didn't notice any of that.
Okay.
But Flounder is fine. Flounder is actually voiced by Jacob Tremblay, who you might remember from The Room. Very different. I think Awkwafina does Scuttle, and David Diggs, so great in Hamilton, he voices Sebastian.
Oh, and how about Hot Triton?
Hot Triton is play. Gary has a picture there of Javier Bardem as King Triton. He did not go shirtless. I know he's got a
point of Triton.
I know, and actually, I love Javier Bardem. He's one of our finest actors. Not his finest moment in this movie. He's just kind of there. I don't know that he's mailing it in per se, but a bit uninspired, I will say. I'll try and be polite about it.
Were there new songs added?
Yes, and the new music is added by Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Ah.
So the new songs are finger popping. It's an enjoyable romp. And all the stuff you know and love, you know, Part of Your World or Under the Sea, all the Kiss of the Girl. The Kiss of the Girl sequence is great. It's all very enjoyable. The male stars of the film were maybe charisma free.
Eric was charisma free.
He was all right. The women really pulled the slack in this one. They were the stars of the show.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I got to tell you, the watch time really bothers me. I might have to wait on that because that is a long ass.
Well, not just for that. Right. You should wait on this because it's only okay. I mean, it's good. It's above average. That said, I don't see how anyone can like have a real problem with this movie because it's so light and fancy free and right. Kind of a faithful adaptation of the first one. It's like, I don't know what you're looking for in a movie if you can't give it up for this one. You know, it's not great, but I think everyone can agree that it's certainly passable and above average. And also the big controversy about there was a lot of controversy about Ariel being black or having dark skin, you know, person of color playing this apparently iconic animated white role really ruffled a lot of scales.
As long as she has red hair, I think that's all people care about. If she had a different hair color, I would have been picketing.
But well, there's actually some context for her being darker skinned because in the movie, I don't think this was explicit in the cartoon in the animated film, because I don't remember this ever coming up, but King Triton in this movie, you know, he has a number of mermaid daughters. Remember, they all come together at one point.
We are the daughters of Triton.
In this one, it's explicitly said that they're like the daughters of the seven seas. So they represent the regions of the world, and where Ariel is the Caribbean. And like at some point they go to like, fucking car guy is that? Why are you by my car?
I gotta know.
What is going on?
We've never done this, but I feel like we should take a quick break and you should go investigate.
I might have to.
You're one like elbow smash into a window away from calling the police. So let's take a quick break. The audience doesn't even know we take the break. Oh, but we'll
no, he's putting on.
What?
Okay, now he's putting on a mask of some sort. Oh, in the hoodie. Okay, I got to go out there. I'll be right back.
All right, we did end up taking a break, and I forgot I was going to have Brian turn the camera toward the window. So, like our producer Gary mentioned, if we needed it for the insurance, after whatever happened to you, we could at least tell them.
Yeah,
makes
perfect sense. Well, there's a little bit of context. So, I did not make contact with anyone, but there's a group. It looks like about in total six or eight fellas, and there's a number of cameras, so I'm assuming they're filming something. There's a lot of skateboarding going on and kids, probably young adults in their 20s, but people in cars, and something's being filmed, so at least there's
But are we talking a sanctioned film, like with craft service, or
No. This is a TikTok production.
Understood. I'm even more worried about young adults looking in your car. They're wild.
At least there's some context where it's like, okay, this is not a person who will most likely break into my car. This is, now they're running back to set up for another shot. So this is at least the third time this has happened.
If you have anything remotely close to a car seat or a booster, they don't want anything you have, old man.
I guess so, yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. So,
we're in the clear in terms of my things being run away with.
Yeah. Good. It's because, and well, also you have the club and LoJack because it's 2001.
That's
Do you remember
right.
LoJack?
Yeah. I don't think No, I didn't have LoJack. I had the club, which is absurd because I never had a car worth anything.
And the fake, the pop out stereo case.
I had that one time left it in my, this is in the Bay Area. One time left it in my car and it was jacked. And another time took it and it was attempted to be stolen without the face. What are you going to do with that thing?
Oh, God. Everyone's so dumb. All right. So interesting review. I feel I pick up what you're putting down. I don't particularly feel sold on it either way, but I feel like I get it.
So and solid, I'm very, you know, stream this when it's on Disney Plus.
Yeah. And because, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda did Moana, which is some fabulous music. I'm actually looking forward. Usually you're like, I don't want the new stuff, but I'm looking forward to see what he added.
Yeah, this is a couple of levels below Moana. But still a perfectly acceptable way to pass the time of the young one. Okay. when it comes to streaming.
Okay. Good. Great. We're not going to stick around too much longer today, but we do have to pay off something that Brian talked about at the top of the hour. There was this trend going on that I jumped on immediately. This happened, I don't know, beginning of the weekend. I don't know, last week, like a couple days ago. And everyone's doing the nicest celebrity you've ever met, that picture's on the left, and the rudest celebrity you've ever met, that picture's
right.
on the right.
Right.
And that's it. There's generally no context. So I was like, well, this is a great way to promote the show. So I'll put myself on the left and Brian giving a thumbs up on the right as obviously the rudest celebrity.
Yeah, clearly.
To which Brian replied with the perfect response, celeb.
Question mark.
Yeah, that was great. Although I do recall us settling on K-list, so I'm counting us.
I'll take it.
Well, everybody jumped on board. And I don't just mean in general, because it's a hysterical Twitter thread in general that you should check out. But on mine, fans of ours or people who listen to us, they all have thoughts about the nicest and rudest. And I just figured we'd just go through a few.
Yeah, I love that people participated.
Yeah, I'll just
again,
read them.
Follow these fire tweets from Gina at Gina Grad.
And follow the droll wisdom of Brian at Bald Brian.
That's right. Self-deprecating humor.
So a different Brian with an I says, Keanu Reeves, nicest person on the planet. Of course, everyone believes that. I have a hilarious story about Jack Nicholson being nice, but also condescending. Rudest was QB douche Jared Goff when he was with the Rams.
I think he's been humbled a little bit. He got traded in his prime and is now languishing in Detroit. Although he actually had a decent season, but yeah.
He's a Lion?
Yeah, they got rid of him. This is Jared Goff, you said, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they traded him for Matt Stafford and they won the Super Bowl.
Ah, thank you. Thank you very much. I needed to be brought up to date. Let's see what else we got. Some people just do the nicest, which I also appreciate. Clint Eastwood is the nicest. This is, says Robert. Right. I could have gotten a pic with him. A great regret. Dennis Franz. Isn't he the commish?
He was NYPD Blue. No, that's Michael Chiklis.
Oh, yeah, that's Michael Chiklis.
Yeah. NYPD Dennis Franz, Blue, though.
Leonardo DiCaprio, funny and friendly. Terry Polo, totally agree. She used to come on our morning show all the time. She was friends with Mark Thompson, and she's the best. James Denton, Glenn Close.
This is all on the good list.
Yeah, that's all good. Another two good ones from Elizabeth says Dave Grohl and Jack Black, the nicest. I can see that.
I've heard this too.
Nicest by Food Bitch, Tim Gunn. And I am so relieved to hear that.
Okay.
You know, from
the fashion guy, yeah?
Yeah, designers, make it work. That's my Tim Gunn impression.
That was good.
Love him. Thank you. Let's see. Chillest celeb from Robert says Charlize Theron.
He said, I think it was chilliest.
Oh, chilliest. You're right. Chilliest celeb, Charlize Theron. Very chilly. Morgan Freeman. We couldn't break the ice with him. He wasn't very chatty, but I did hear the voice of God.
That's nice.
Not unfriendly. And the nicest Sandra Oh, who you and I have both met. Very nice woman.
Oh yeah.
And Kerry Washington. It's so, this is funny. Somebody wrote, you know, cause it's like put yours on the left and, you know, the nicest right. on the left and the roots on the right with ours. Someone wrote, wait, my right or your right?
Good.
Double check which one of us. This one I'm a little hesitant to read.
Okay.
But let's just say he is very vocal about meeting all these really nice celebs in a special group that likes to gather in
anonymity.
Yes. Anyway,
well, let's just say that stories were told.
Yeah, let's just say these are nice people that all got together for a day of fellowship.
Okay.
Okay. Robert Downey Jr. very nice. Steven Tyler nice. The drummer for Guns N' Roses.
Steven Adler.
Thank you. Oh, we love Steven Adler. Yeah. Remember, we met him with his mother.
His mother was very sweet.
Yes. Okay. Let's see here. Nicest Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman together.
Oh, good.
I love hearing that. Nicest Gary Sinise, which I think you and I would agree. Rudest Usher.
Interesting. Yeah. I've never encountered the man. I wouldn't have any opinion on that.
Me either. The nicest.
Also, we should say, you know, the standard disclaimer. You never know. They're having a bad day. You know, they caught them at a bad moment. Yeah, you know, you never know.
Well, my husband has the best example of this because right now I am really hardcore into Ed Sheeran. Apparently, they're called Cheerios. I call them cheerleaders. Edibles or cheerleaders. So I'm super into Ed Sheeran. Like I can't stop. And he goes, you know what? My nicest would be Ed Sheeran. And my rudest would be Ed Sheeran.
Oh, wow. See, there you go. That's my point.
And that's exactly why I mentioned it, because he said when he was still not, I mean, he just had launched into the stratosphere with Thinking Out Loud. And my husband, who is, you know, in the radio business and was, you know, an audio, whatever, Ed Sheeran came in to do Thinking Out Loud. And it was just the two of them in this little recording booth. And my husband goes, and he just stared right into my soul and looked right in my eyes, like Thinking Out Loud, which is amazing. But the second time he came in, he was like, oh, he wasn't acknowledging anyone. He was on his phone. And I go, let me just break this down for you. It's some guy who's a great artist who's being schlepped around to press junkets and stuff. And it's not you. It's not he didn't want to spend his day this way.
Understood.
And he's annoyed. Yeah, I think he seems like a fucking great guy. I am such a
reasonable. This is a reasonable assessment of any individual person.
The next one, David says the nicest. I think that this is. Isn't this the drummer from The Who?
Oh, no. Rolling Stones. That's Charlie.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Nicest, rudest. Is that Sting?
Yes. And Sting has a reputation of being prickly.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought because he was into like tantric sex with Trudy, he was a chill all the time.
I don't know about that. Maybe he's pent up.
Got it.
Maybe you caught him on hour 12.
We'll just do a few more. I'm sorry. I should be better at this, but this is a Pratt, right?
I think.
Chris Pratt is the nicest.
Can you push it up there closer?
Yeah.
Looks Pratty.
Yes. Gary says yes. And the rudest, is that Joe Montana?
That is Joe. Oh, no, my beloved Joe. Joe Cool.
Oh, no.
Oh, greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah, this guy keeps talking about people he's met at special meetings. We'll skip those. nicest Will Smith and Courtney Love. Oh, just the nicest. Oh. Oh, no, excuse me. Nicest Will Smith. Courtney Love wasn't that bad, but by comparison was a hoity ass. So she's the worst.
Okay. I've had the opportunity to meet Courtney Love a couple of times, and while I found her nice and endearing, years of the rock and roll lifestyle, I think, make her maybe seem a little aloof to certain people.
That I believe. Absolutely. There's so many more, but let's just do one.
I never met Will Smith, so I can't say.
Yeah, me neither. Hold on. I just got to look this person up real quick to make sure it's who I'm thinking of, because you'll know. Oh, yeah. No, definitely haven't met him. Nicest, John Wooden.
Oh, John Wooden. Yeah, I've never met him. He was 90 years old by the time I probably learned who he was. But supposedly a very nice guy.
And worst.
Legendary UCLA basketball coach.
Yeah, that's why I figured you'd at least know the name. Worst, which I think for this person could mean a lot of things, Jim Carrey. He's
interesting.
Weird.
Yeah.
So maybe if you didn't just get the normal glad handing, you'd think he's the worst.
I think there's a little bit of, with Jim Carrey, I feel like there's a little bit of like, I'm not your monkey. I'm not going to dance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not talking out of my butt for you because I'm not Ace Ventura.
And like messing with like well-meaning red carpet hosts who are just like, what are you wearing? Are you excited about the night? And just eviscerating them.
Yeah. Was that tweet from Milos Forman, director of Man on the Moon? who Jim Carrey would not leave character the entire time he was on set.
Oh my God, that's funny. Yeah, there's so many more. We'll revisit these because these are really interesting. I mean, most of these people I have no stories about or thoughts about. Mm-hmm. And now I feel like I know a little more about them. Although, as Brian said earlier, you don't. I have, like Andy and my beloved Ed Sheeran, I've met, and as of you, re-met the same celebrity. And one time, you know, thought they were an ass. And the next time I was like, actually, they were probably just having a bad day. They were really nice this time. So, you know, they're people, but, you know, if there's a reputation, if you get a reputation for it, it's probably you.
Yeah, that's a good point. If it's one of those, like good and bad.
When I said the chillest is Charlize Theron, and you said, are you sure you don't mean the chillest?
Which is ironic because Charlize Theron, I have heard, is pretty chill, but I can't speak. I've never actually encountered the woman, so I can't say.
Well, we should go back to those because those are very funny. And I don't know that Brian and I will ever reveal our list. I'm just getting out ahead of that.
It's funny. I was thinking about mine. And while I assume you and I are similar in this respect, I can name dozen or more or dozens even of very nice celebrity encounters. Don't have too many negative ones, you know, like
same.
People are generally, you know, I'm also, I like to think that I'm fairly nice and friendly. So when I, you know, if I was ever to approach a celebrity, you know, it's generally pretty reciprocal.
Yeah. No one's, I mean, again, we've met many characters that if you weren't in the mood for that or calibrated in that moment to receive that, you'd be like, oh,
sure. I've been roasted by plenty. You know what I mean? Like Anthony Jeselnik wasn't, you know, the sweetest guy in the world, but he was Anthony Jeselnik, you know?
Yeah. David Alan Greer, Jay Moore. These are fun guys that you just got to be prepared for, you know, for anything. And the first time I met Joel McHale, I was ready to say, this man is a total dick and I'm afraid of him. He is the nicest human on the face of the earth.
But also a total dick.
Yeah, of course.
See.
But I mean can you see how he'd be a person I'd like have to like steel myself and be like, he's going to be like aloof like sarcastic.
Yeah.
It turns out
that's his
amazing.
Whole act.
Yeah. Same thing that happened with Lisa Lampanelli. Terrified to meet her. And now the fact that she wouldn't call me this, but that I feel like in a way I could call her a friend is one of my favorite things in the world.
In fact, you know, more examples come to mind of celebrities who I was bracing myself because I had heard that they were difficult or prickly or whatever, who ended up being at the very least, you know, polite and forthcoming. And sometimes, like in the case, I'm thinking of Ed O'Neill from Married with Children Modern Family. Were you there when he came into the show?
No.
Okay, that's before your time. But I had heard that he was sometimes a little standoffish. He was the nicest guy. He was gracious and warm. And I enjoyed his presence.
I'm so relieved to hear that about my precious Al Bundy. We should. Well, if we stay on this track of people who we were surprisingly delighted by, I think we could do that.
Or we do the Brad Williams thing where when the name comes up, we just kind of pass.
No, when the name comes up, you just focus hard on the other guy that was mentioned. Okay. If you want to see more stars, there is a delicious and fun way to do that coming up at the Abbey, the iconic Abbey in West Hollywood. So there's Pride Month here in LA anyway is June, and there's, you know, going to be all kinds of fun events going on. But a big one we want to talk about is LA Magazine presents the Pride Cocktail Brunch. This is June 15th from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., obviously prime brunch hours, Thursday, June 15th at the Abbey in West Hollywood. Cocktails, brunch, a panel discussion, and celebrities. This is going to be awesome. There is a 99.9% chance I will be there. I love this.
Well, it's at 11 a.m. at the Abbey anyway, so you'll be there. It's just as a matter of course.
That's a good point. This is going to be a lot of fun. The Abbey is a legendary, iconic stop on the tour of Los Angeles and especially West Hollywood. It's just a really fun place. It's a crazy place. There's, you know, they often do drag performances and there's, you know, dance parties, but the food is great. Haven't been there for an actual brunch, a proper brunch in years. So this will be a perfect opportunity and a really I don't want to use this word because I feel like it's boring and it'll turn people off, but dare I say responsible event in terms of not just like, you know how like everyone, all the big corporations like swoop in for Pride and then you know,
all of a sudden a lot of logos turn rainbow.
Exactly. This is like, I mean, they're putting their money where their mouth is. A beautiful brunch, panel discussions, stars aplenty in one of the most, the most iconic spot in West Hollywood. So that will be June 15th from 11 a.m. to 1:30. A great way to have fun during Pride Month.
Nice. I'll see you there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just to wrap up this mystery that I'm sure everyone's hanging on, from what I can tell, this looks like some kind of music video. I see people, they're doing the same thing over and over again. It appears to be some sort of performance outside of a car, outside of a moving car that is being filmed. I believe my car was being used for reflection, you know what I mean? To sort of if you see a music video. If you see a music video at some point in the future, featuring a gentleman, a black guy in a red hoodie wearing some kind of mask, eyewear, or I don't even know what's going on, but he's in a red hoodie and he is performing to some degree. They're on my street. They're outside of my house. I don't know what my house isn't that picturesque. I don't know why. I think because my street's quiet. It's one of those L-shaped streets that like not a lot through traffic coming down.
Yeah, your street would, it's interesting for any kind of music video across genres. You'd either go to like a very tony, gorgeous neighborhood or something kind of broken down if you want to be kind of edgy. How did the most
mine's
suburban
very normcore?
Yes.
The ranch style. You know, we're going to shoot this music video is in front of the ranch style house with the horse vents. It's very modest.
Everyone, please flood Brian with tweets when you see this music video that's sure to premiere on this guy's social media platform.
Maybe this is someone famous. I don't know. I'm looking at, here he is again. Yeah, he's got something over his eyes, like a weird like eye mask.
Like
he's
a visor?
No. It almost looks kind of glammy, like as though there is a, as though there it is like sunglasses adorned with a feather boa.
Oh, so like Elton John glasses.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. And again, he's in a red zip-up hoodie. It's not a full, over-the-top hoodie.
I can help you decide. I can help make you, I can help have you understand the budget for this video, or if this is a famous person. Whoever's holding the camera, is there any stand? Is there any way to put the camera down? Or is
as
it all
handheld? As far as I can see, it's all handheld.
Okay, good to know. Because if you're going to put a camera on a stand that touches the ground, you need a permit for that. So we found this out the hard way back in the radio days. So this is just a couple of dudes getting together having fun.
Seems like it. Well, be on the lookout for that, everyone. And when you figure out who this artist is, please hit me up at @BaldBrian and fill me in because I'd like to see my house featured in a music video.
Oh, this, I think that was almost too much show. We should probably get out of here.
Yeah, I think we had a robust offering this time.
Yeah, we're close to overstaying our welcome. We'll get out of here. Don't forget, like Brian just said, hit him up on social media at @BaldBrian with a Y. Hit me up at @GinaGrad, 2 G's. And of course, you can always watch us because the things you missed are, I don't even know where to begin. My hair was on fire.
There's a lot to see and do.
Yeah. So go over to youtube.com/Los Angeles Magazine, hit videos, and you can watch us do the
slash Los Angeles Magazine videos. If I'm remembering correctly,
I made a little bit of a game time decision there because yes, Brian, he says, yes, Brian.
Okay.
But I know, but there's also a video tab. So I got nervous. Anyway, okay. youtube.com/Los Angeles Magazine videos. Just go to Los Angeles Magazine on YouTube. You'll find us.
And when this music video hits the streets, we're going to feature it on Los Angeles Magazine videos.
Oh, we're going to pimp this video so hard. So look for that. We're of course here twice a week, wherever you listen to pods. We love you. We'll talk to you next time.
Oh my God, it's Usher. Usher, I love you.
I thought he was rude.
Thank you for listening to The Brian and Gina Show. To get in touch with the hosts or buy their books, hit them up at @BaldBrian and @GinaGrad on Twitter and Instagram, or by email at podcasts@lamag.com. To get connected with LA Magazine, hit them up at @LAMag on Twitter and Instagram. Talk soon.